Okay, so we're going to do an interesting idea tonight, hopefully. We'll go through a Talmudic passage that I started because I was going to promise to finish something I began several weeks ago. I'll mention that, but then it took me in a different direction. So it starts like this. In this week's Parsha, Shmos, is the beginning of the Egyptian exile. From the beginning, but exile takes serious effect now. And as the exile happens in chapter 2, it says like this. A man, this is the opening of chapter 2 in the Chumash. We have a Gemara now because we're going to go through the Gemara. A man went from the house of Levi, very vague terminology, and he took the daughter Yocheved. So he got married. So the last time we talk about getting married, what's the opening phrase? A man went. Just say a man got married. What's the big deal? What, a man went. Every word in the Torah is a gazillion dollars. So the word, the Talmud's word, what's the word? What's that telling us? The man went to get married. He went to get married. A man got married. Don't say he went to get married because what does it mean he went to get married? So the Talmud says, Amri Yehuda bar Bazvina, the word went doesn't mean physically. The word went based on a pasuk in Tehillim means you followed someone's advice. So it says he went according to the advice of his daughter. So it says he went to get married. Doesn't mean he physically went to get married. He followed someone's advice to get married. Still doesn't explain anything. Here goes a wild story. Tana, we learn this whole story I'm about to tell you is to explain why the Torah used the word went, which we said means advice. Here goes a fascinating story. And as we have to know, every word in this Talmud is worth a gazillion dollars. Torah for sure. Talmud as well. So if the Torah is telling the specific details in a story, there has to be a reason for it. Here goes an interesting story with some details we don't understand. Tana, Amram, and the one who we said a second ago, the man from Beis Levi, who went to have a child, his name, by the way, is Amram. It's Moshe Rabbeinu's father. So it calls me Amram. By the way, who is Amram? The Gemara starts out. Who is Amram? Gadol Hadarayu. He was the leader of the generation. I don't know. I guess offhand that the entire Talmud, this is the only time it starts a story with this detail. By the way, the guy was the leader of the generation. Okay. First of all, we should know that anyway. If you know any bit of Chumash, you might know that. Second of all, you should know that the Gemara in Shabbos calls him something else. The Gemara in Shabbos says four people in the history of the world died without having any transgressions. History of the world. One of them is Amram. So you could have said, you know how great Amram is? He never did a sin like the Gemara in Shabbos. That's not what it says. It says, by the way, Amram has a specific title here. As we've said many times in this class, nicknames and titles are important. We don't call you the Terminator if you're not the Terminator. We got a specific name. Everyone's nickname is real. Gemara starts out with a very fascinating thing. By the way, Amram Gadol Hadarayu. So it must be related to the rest of the story. Otherwise, it wouldn't begin this way. Here goes a fascinating story. Amram came into a party. This is all part of the Chumash. Gemara is adding on all for the word Vayelech. He went to take counsel. Amram was the leader of the generation. He had a problem. Paroi made a decree. And the decree was all children shall be thrown into the river. He's living in this time. He's the leader of the generation. All children thrown into the river. Omar, he says, listen, if this is the situation, all kids are dying, a Holocaust, purgatory, then there's no point in anything. A defeatist attitude. So he says, you know what? Why attempt to have children? The children are automatically going to be killed because Pharaoh, the leader, is in charge. Let's not do it. Omar. Article interprets Ahmad. What does Ahmad mean in English? Stood up. Doesn't say stand here. It says he proceeded to divorce his wife. Leader of the generation got up and divorced his wife. And I'm saying got up because the Gemara adds in a detail. He got up. He got up and divorced his wife. The reaction of the crowd. He didn't, according to, I'm just reading the words, he didn't say anything to the crowd. Talking to himself, right? Okay, withdraw. Ahmad, he's talking probably to himself. Ahmad, he stood up and divorced his wife. Next reaction. Amdu kulon. Every one of the generation, no exaggerations. When it says everyone, it means everyone. It doesn't mean 90%. Everyone. Everyone of the generation followed suit and stood up, no, stood up twice, and divorced the wives. Mass divorces. Okay. Amar lo bita, here goes the advice. His daughter came over to him and said, what is going on here? The courts are backed up. The divorce courts are backed up. And what is, let's figure it out. She said, listen, Tati, my father, your decree is worse than Pharaoh's. You think Pharaoh's a bad guy? You're worse. Because Pharaoh only decreed on the boys. He said, all the Jewish boys should be thrown into the river. But the women would survive. So let the people stay married and produce girls. Second of all, she says, when you throw boys into the river, when you don't get married, you don't produce kids at all. No fetuses. A fetus has a chance to go to heaven. God forbid someone has a miscarriage. But the fetus came down, the soul came down for something, goes back up. So you're not giving them that chance. You did two things worse than Pharaoh. Pharaoh limited to men. Pharaoh limited to men, and you did men and women, separating. No one, there's no children at all. And when they get born and get killed, there's still something to it. We're not pro-death of kids, but the fact is that death will mean they came into this world for a certain amount of time. So what did he say? Skipping some lines here. She said, also, by the way, you don't even know if you're going to, the para might not be around in a year from now. People are getting married, getting pregnant. It takes 9 months, right? The famous joke, someone came to Reb Chaim Kineski. They want a bracha to have children. The great rabbi of the generation, bracha to have children. He said, okay, how long are you married for? Guy said, 2 months. He goes, you know, it takes at least nine, right? That's what he told him. Bracha for children. So it goes back here. Pharaoh might not be around in a year, but you, if everyone separates, there's no more children. Now, what happened? What was the reaction? Ahmad stood up again. A lot of standing up going on here. Ahmad, he stood up. He remarried his ex. What happened? Didn't say anything to anybody else. Everyone else got married again as well. Funny story. What I was going to bring on the story for a different reason, we'll say in a second. He looks around, leader of the generation. He sees mass destruction, the Holocaust is happening. Men and women separate. No kids. Don't bring kids into this Holocaust. He divorces his wife. I don't know if he said it. He divorces his wife. Everyone gets divorced. His daughter tells him that's a bad strategy. When was the last time someone listened to their kids? Bad strategy. He says, you know what? You're making sense. He said, I'm going to remarry her. And he remarries his ex. That's the wedding. He went to marry his wife, meant he took counsel, he took advice. Who was the advice? From his daughter to remarry her. He went and remarried. And what happened? Everyone else got remarried. So now the divorce courts are empty, marriage courts are full. That is the story it says here. Simple story, Sota 12a. My first question when I started this class was, why does it keep on saying they stood up? He stood up and divorced his wife, they stood up and divorced his wife. He stood up to remarry his wife, they stood up to remarry his wife. If you're gonna worry about every single word, I don't know, why are we busy with standing up? So a few weeks ago, which I promised to finish, not tonight, in Parshas Vayetze, we discussed the custom, and you had a good question on camera. We discussed the custom of people standing up when the bride and groom walked down the aisle. And we said then that Rav Moshe Feinstein was against it. He held it was a non-Jewish custom. And when you speak to the old rabbis in the Litvish world, not the Swedish world, I don't know what world you're from, but in the Lithuanian world, in Europe, nobody stood up. Never happened. It became an American custom. Sfardim did it, but America didn't. So it became a question, where did it come from? Why does it come from? In Jews, we have to know everything we're doing. We don't just haphazardly take a drink of soda. Why am I drinking? Do I make a blessing before I drink? There's a lot of OCD behavior going on here. So we're all standing up for the bride and groom. Why are we standing up for the bride and groom? Is there a reason we stand up for the bride and groom? So back to Parshas Vayetze, on RevHubna.com. There was a voice in the back of the crowd. Name sounds like Sodenheim. And he said, wait a second, very simple. A bride and groom are similar to a king and a queen. When the king walks in, you stand up. When the groom walks in, you stand up. And that is one of the reasons given. Stand up for the bride and groom, because they're similar to the king and queen. We asked then, go back to the videotape, Warner Wolf, we said then that that's not so true. When does a guy become a groom and a bride? When he's walking down to get married? Is that the time he becomes a groom? I don't know. In English, we might call a guy a groom. But at what point is he considered a king? Probably after he gets married, on the way to the wedding. Guess what? Everyone, if you're single, not you, but if you are, you're also on the way to get married. You might not have a bride yet, but you're on the way to get married. Are you not on the way to get married? Let's hope so, right? We're assuming right now you're on the way to get married. Okay, am I standing up for you? No. He's waiting for me. I'm not standing up for you because of that. So at what point does a guy become a bride and a groom, become a king and a queen? Second of all, the concept of a groom being a king is only limited to the groom. It doesn't say anywhere in any of our sources that a bride is like a queen. So maybe if you stand up because like a king, stand up for the men, not for the women. That's not what happens at weddings. Go to a wedding and everyone's standing up for the bride and groom. They even stand up for the little two kids who walk down with the funny music and throwing flowers, right?
King is
What
married as a queen.
doesn't mean, yes, but it doesn't mean that detail. There's a medrash that says that a groom is like a king, and it gives things you're supposed to do for a king. It doesn't say the queen. Could be automatic. And what it doesn't say stand up, by the way. You know what it says? Praise them. That's the source, some say, for the reason why during the 7 days after the wedding, we go to parties and we praise the chassan. Nowadays, in America, it became a roast. But in the original way, we used to praise the guy. He's the best. Why are you saying the guy's best? He's a jerk. You hate this guy. No, I'm doing really, I hold he's a jerk. So why am I doing it? Because it makes his wife look good. No, you're doing it because the Medrash says a king is like a groom. A groom is like a king. What is a king? Praise the king. Nobody doesn't praise the king. Not a wise idea. You know what else it says? For what?
Breathing.
Well, I said to be nice.
Call really call
We praise them, but it doesn't say stand up for them. So we had this thing, which we're going to get into over the next few weeks, hopefully, because there are about 8 reasons on why we might stand up. And again, Rav Moshe Feinstein said, don't stand up. He held it was a non-Jewish custom. He'll do not stand up for it. Here comes the bride with the fancy music. He said, don't do it. What are you standing up for? But some people have real sources. So the first real source we discussed a few weeks ago was maybe like a king. And we discussed then if that's true. But I was reading this Gemara. I'm thinking this Gemara is very interesting. This Gemara keeps on saying he stood up and he got married. He stood up and he got divorced. Marriage and divorce have a lot of similar laws. Maybe this Gemara is a source. That's what I thought of learning in this class today when I thought of preparing. Maybe standing up means, because the Gemara says, why do I add the detail? He's going to get married. He stood up to go get married. I don't know. You don't have to stand up to get married. I don't know. Maybe you can sit down and get married. And maybe it meant, and it says everyone stood up. Maybe everyone standing up is because there was a custom back then in Egypt that people stood up for marriage. Maybe. So this is how we started. The Talmud seems to add on four extra words. Four times in a story that's only one paragraph, it says people stood up. We wonder what's going on and why are we saying stand up? So I decided we're going to go a little bit of a different direction. And to say like this, our second question was, why are we introducing him as Gal Hadar? Who cares? He was a guy who never sinned. What's a better title to have, by the way? I don't know. Good question. It's like
The
a,
door is not a bet.
it's a good title. What would you rather be known as? Leader of the generation or man who never sinned your whole life? I'm picking the latter. No?
Nobody knows you in the lab. You could ladder guys sit in the back of the shul in the coal bin, also never sinned his whole life. Doesn't mean he's a great man, he's a humble parent. Or
I'll take no sins ever. That's eternity. That's never eternal damnation. No mistakes ever.
Moshe Rabbeinu was sinned, but he's only considered the greatest person. It's not your
Yeah,
priority.
but yeah.
Yeah,
But
maybe you have to
you
take
could be a
risks.
leader and not be great also.
You have to take risks. Take risks.
Saying, what do you want to be? Leader of the generation? It's not. You could be a nobody. The Talmud says that the leaders are chosen based on what the people deserve.
Guys,
Do you want to be the leader?
stays in battle day is not required.
He's not a leader. Okay, so I agree with that. So what would you rather be? The leader of the generation, which might be a bunch of losers, they chose you. We deserve the leaders we choose. Sounds like a political statement based on what's going on in New York right now. We deserve the leaders we choose. And we're adding on right now that he never told everyone to get married and divorced. Everyone followed. He literally followed the leader. What type of Jews are these guys, by the way? Were these good people or bad people? The Jews in Egypt, as we know, 49th level of contamination. There's only 50. They're on literally the bottom of the barrel.
That one.
Oh, this will be a good point. Excellent. That was one of my approaches. We'll see. How early was this? So it's a question how early, but they weren't doing great. They're already in the middle of the Holocaust beginning. And yet he didn't say anything and they all followed. You know what the word oymid means? Oymid means stand. Stand up. And you stand for the bride and groom. Or the word oymid in Yiddish sounds better. Zay still means nothing. You're silent in acceptance. The word oymid means you still means you're not moving anymore. Human beings are people who move by nature. We're moving up or down. As we've said many times in this class, no one is not moving every second of their life. You are on the spiritual treadmill. You're on a spiritual treadmill. You're either moving forward with it. That's the treadmill, doesn't you can't move forward, but you're either going forward, you're on the no, better idea. What's that thing called by the airport?
Moving walkway
The
and
moving walkway.
moving silence.
You're moving. Now, you're either going forward every second, but if you're standing still, you're going backward. So you can walk forward and actually move forward, but the thing's moving backward. Because there's no such thing in Judaism as staying spiritually still. Not possible. You can't.
So it's like an escalator. You stand on the escalator.
You're walking
going
up the
down.
opposite
But you
side.
could go up, correct. Could go up, yes. So everyone, every second of your life, you're on this escalator. There's no such thing as I'll take a day off. You take it, you're going a day backward. They say it by smoking, right? The first day you stop smoking, you save 2 days. Because it's one day that you're not smoking and one day you're not smoking. Doesn't make sense. It does make sense, right? Every moment you're not moving forward, you're not standing still. You're also the lungs start replenishing itself. That's the word replenish, bad word. Bad word on replenish, though. But there's a word there. Rejuvenate. Repair, better word. The same way your lungs, this is regenerate. Is it regenerate, repair, whatever it is? This I don't say, the doctor said, I don't apply it to lungs and smoking. That's a detail, it's irrelevant. The point is, you are either moving forward or you're moving backward. The Stipler, the great Stipler, Chaim Knessi's father, once had a very depressing thought. And he said he had a question. It says you're supposed to learn, and every day you learn, you get better and better. And it says you're supposed to learn 12 hours a day. That's what it says. For regular people, 12 hours a day, that's average. You should be learning 12 hours a day. So a guy went, it's in one of his letters. So a guy came to the Stipler and said, you know, I'm doing 8 hours a day, but I'm not doing well. 8 hours a day, pretty good, by the way. Pretty good. Pretty, pretty good, to quote someone, right? 8 hours a day. He said, and you know what? I don't see myself getting better in Torah study. 8 hours a day, I'm not progressing. And the Stipler told him, yeah, it makes perfect sense. You're supposed to learn 12. You're learning eight. The four missing arrows means you're going backward. It's not just you're missing four, you're now missing eight. So you started with zero, you went eight, and you went back eight. You know where you are? Exactly where we were at the start of the day. Not a good idea. The idea is we are moving forward or backward. But there's a time when you could just say, you know what? I'm removing myself from the situation and I go whatever the leader says. And therefore, you're getting on his wings and you get on his escalator. You don't have the capacity to run that up the hill. You're going to be going backward on that escalator. Because you know what? You're out of gas. You know what you could do? Jump on someone's shoulders who's going up the hill. That's a good idea sometimes. Jump on his shoulders and he's going up the hill. So what happened is like this. The reason why it says in this situation, he was the leader of the generation, is to tell us that the Jews at this point realize they're in bad trouble. Holocaust beginning, genocide, it's bad news. You know what? Should we divorce or not divorce? That's a serious decision, by the way. Should the entire nation divorce their wives not to produce children so they're not going to get killed? That's a doozy of a question. You know what they said? No opinion. We're going to watch the leader of the generation. What he does, we do. He didn't have to say it. He doesn't say he told everyone, I'm getting divorced. They all got divorced. Because they said, you know what? We don't know what to do here. We're going to follow the guy. We're going to go up the hill with him. He says, you know what? I made a mistake. My daughter, my daughter, who might have been, by the way, under the age of 12, under the age of six, maybe. My little daughter told me I'm wrong. Good idea. I'm wrong. I'll remarry my ex. Remarry your ex. Does that sound like a wise idea most of the time? That's not a good idea. No, remarry my ex. You know what everyone else does? Remarry the exes. Because they decided we don't know what to do here. The problem we have in America is something I've said a million times. We have free speech. I hate free speech. Worst thing ever. Ever. We believe in expensive speech. Expensive speech. Weigh every word you have. The other problem that happens when you have free speech and you have podcasts is that everyone has an opinion on everything. It's amazing. Everything. You have an opinion on the blue cups versus the red cups. That type of honey, if that even that is honey. If this water bottle is the right water bottle, everything. We have been everything. And you do 24 hours a day talk radio. You go on podcasts where they interview a guy who, whatever he has going for him, they decide to interview him. And he will give you his opinion on 31 different topics. This guy's amazing. He has an opinion on 31 different topics. But you know what we all do? Sports radio taught us. We decide everything. You know what happens when you meet your great grandparents? I would say grandparents, but you guys are young. Great grandparents, they have no opinions. They didn't believe in this free opinion, free speech. No, they had no opinions. They had some opinions. They had an opinion on everything. They had an opinion on everything. Why? Because they understood that I don't know everything. I don't have to have an opinion on everything. You know what I'm going to do sometimes? I'm going to defer to someone else who's wiser than me in opinion. In America, we believe, it doesn't mean America literally, it's the generational thing. We believe that we have to go and decide what the opinions are. We have to decide everything. So therefore, we don't follow our leaders. We're not jumping on their back because we decide, I like that guy. Think of the greatness of this leader. Why it starts out by saying he is the great leader of the generation? Because he had the guts in public. It says everyone heard what he did. He divorced his wife. No extra words. Umdu, they stood up, which was saying now meant they had no opinion. Kulon, all the Jewish men followed suit. This is a public declaration. And then his daughter screams at him, and he says, you know what? Made a mistake. I'm going to reverse it. In front of the entire nation, he got up and said, I made a massive mistake. And he had to say it, he did it. He divorced his wife and then in public remarried her. You know what the people said? That's the guy who's the leader. You know why it starts out saying he's the leader? He earned his leadership. Because one of the qualities of a true leader, I mean, saying, I don't know, I made a mistake. Not easy to find. We have people in power who say that, say never to say I'm sorry. We're not going into politics here. Well, the Torah starts out, the Gemara starts out by saying, he was the leader of the generation. Not that he never sinned. But never sinned is not relevant to this conversation. Divorcing your wife, not divorcing your wife, might be a sin, might not. It's irrelevant. But it is saying that he was the leader because everyone said, you know what? Whatever he says, we're going to do. We're going to follow his opinion. You know what happens when everyone follows a leader? A leader who's worthy of being a leader. A leader is worthy of being a leader. He said, I made a mistake. In public, there's not a guy in privately sitting in a war room saying, I don't know if I did the right thing. Let's call in the press guys. Let's call in, what do they call those guys? The PR guys. Let's frame this another way. He said, No, I made a mistake in public. Oh, by the way, had you really made a mistake? My 3-year-old daughter told me I made a mistake. Yeah, that's going to happen in a normal world, right? He got up in public. He said, I made a mistake. And the whole world followed him because the whole world understood what a leader is. You know what you get? What did we say 10 minutes ago? You get the leaders you deserve. Don't blame anybody. You know who they got? Moshe Rabbeinu. The greatest, you said it before, the greatest leader ever, ever in the history of the world. Because they said to themselves, listen, we're going to follow this person. Amram's the leader. We're going to follow. Umdu means they sat in Yiddish, Zay still. They sat quietly, no opinions. You know what would happen if a leader got up and said something and then a massive decision, divorce your wives. That means a bunch of husbands are walking in and they're telling the wives, by the way, we're going on vacation alone. Was that famous guy with the lottery? I'm going on vacation without you. That's my vacation. Then a week later, they got to say, oh, by the way, listen, get back down on one knee and say, I really said no because of Amram, but now I'm saying yes because of Amram. That's insane, right? But they did it. But you know what they said to themselves? They could have said to themselves, this Amram guy, you know, getting old. Mine's not there. Mine's not there. And what do you know? I trust this guy. He said yes. Then he says no. Maybe he's going to divorce his wife tomorrow. Maybe his 2-year-old daughter's going to say something. You know, TMZ's going to have a bunch of jokes like that. You know, the comedians are getting up at 11:30 at night and saying, let's hear about the president of the United States. He said this today, and then he said this yesterday. What's he saying tomorrow? But instead, what they will do? Umdu, it keeps on saying they stood up. And when I'm saying stood up means Zay still. They said, whatever we're going to follow. Pick the right leaders. Don't follow idiots. Pick the right leaders. And they followed, and they got the ultimate reward. The ultimate leader came out of that. The ultimate leader comes out of it that the people now deserve.
Why the Gemara is saying these details. The Gemara is telling us to understand what it means to choose your leaders and really stick with them. Stick with that. Again, you got to choose wisely. Stick with the people you're choosing. Understand that we believe in the fallibility of leaders, by the way. Well, we believe that leaders can make mistakes. Absolutely. Not a question. Not a question. So the reality is that when it comes to following the leader, there is a concept. There is a concept at times when someone's a truly great leader. It might be you need prophecy. It doesn't mean turn your brain off 100% because we don't understand that concept. We're in a generation that we believe that we have to have an opinion on everything. That you don't need. You don't need your opinion on everything and to judge on everything. There is an advantage at times to following the person and understanding that whatever he wants, that's what God wants out of me. I don't know this. I don't know this. I don't know everything. And the real leaders will tell you they don't know everything. My rabbi never told me what to do. Whenever I went to him, this is what he would tell me. If I was in this situation, this is what I would do. I don't know what you should do. But you know what Tom? And he meant not this as a disclaimer on page 18 on the rental contract. That's not what he meant. He meant this, I know my personality, my strengths, my minuses. I know what I would do if I was faced this situation. I don't know what you can handle. I don't know what you can do. You gotta know this. You gotta know your details. Can't rely on that person for everything. Yes, go.
Why does it seem that many Hasidic rabbis, the people can't go, should I take this job? Should I buy this brand or that brand? Should I still live on this street or that
On the
street?
simple explanation, we're going to say that what that does is when you go with the rabbi, you're relying on his blessing. That means, should I do A or B? Rabbi says, do A. Is A for sure right? I'm relying on his blessing. Rav Moshe Feinstein used to say, unbelievable idea. He was once at a place and a person came up to him and asked him for a blessing for a child. He really, really would say it. Because Rav Moshe Feinstein believed in expensive speech. No free speech. Every word out of his mouth was weighed a billion times. He rarely, I think it's 12 times they had it. And one time when he gave it, he turned to the person next to him and says, I know every time this is unbelievable. I know every time I promise a child it happens, this one I'm not sure about. Unbelievable. Remember, she knew who he was. So the rabbi turned to him and said, why'd you say it? All right. You got a perfect streak going here. He says, I believe, and I'm davening, that the belief she has in me, of my prayer, the belief she has in prayer and my prayer, that alone will help her. My blessing won't do it. Her belief in it won't do it. So there is an idea sometimes when you go to grand rabbis, that understanding that I'm following them blindly at times is a major plus. A major plus. Now, I will add this detail. It might be limited to when we're talking about grand rabbis with prophetic abilities. There is an idea that the belief in the rabbi is a plus as well. Back then, right now, the Talmud adds on words that they stood up. They stood up meant they decided that they're putting their opinion on hold. That is something we could work on today. We could work on today that we don't have to have an opinion on everything and voice an opinion on everything. That's something we could work on. I admit, there's many topics I know nothing about. Many topics I have no interest in knowing anything about.
That's why we dive into a prayer book because they knew.
We
We can
use
make our own prayers, but we don't. We trust
the
in
advantage of
the
something we've said before. When you
leader.
pray in Hebrew, you don't have to. When you pray in Hebrew, it's a master key. It opens every lock. You might not know what you're saying, but the key works. When you pray in English and you are 100% allowed, legal, 100%, no 99, 100% allowed if you don't know Hebrew, get there. But when you pray in English and you mean it, it works. But you have to mean it and know what you're doing. Not just rattle off the words because it's 8 o'clock and the guy in front of me started praying, so I'm praying. In Hebrew, it's a master key. Because these people who wrote, the prophets who wrote the prayers had prophecy, and they knew that they knew every detail when it works. We say Psalms because we don't believe David was sitting with long white beard playing a harp and as a hippie with the Grateful Dead. No, that's not what he was. He was a person who understood the future of how every word's going to work out perfectly in every single situation. He understood. He had the master key. So when you use the master key, you can be not fully aware of what you're doing. The key's going to work. Master keys work. Private keys, you got to jiggle. Doesn't work so well. So there is an advantage. In general, we believe that grand leaders are given the advantage that God will help them out in most cases. In many cases, God will have the leaders do the right thing because God knows what's going on. Oh, everyone on the, I thank everyone for coming, even on the Zoom. How many people, a bunch of people on Zoom there.